Awesome. Well, tonight I'm just so very thankful for the continued just encouragement and just the people that are here. This church continues and the church body just continues just to grow and develop. And I just love watching God use every single one of you and using you in your purposes and your callings. And that's just amazing just to watch. And I'm thankful to be a part of that as well. And I'm also thankful for just pastors in this house that have chosen not to quit. They've chosen not to stop, but to keep going. Aren't you thankful for that? I know that I am. So just to start out, I have a question for you tonight. How many of you have ever gone skiing before? Skiing. Okay. How many of you like skiing? Okay. We have some of you. Okay. So my husband, he likes to ski. He's not like an avid skier or anything, but he likes it. And he always asks me to go. And I just don't want to go. And so one time I finally was like, okay, you know what? I will go. I love you this much. I'll, you know, go and be freezing. And, you know, it's just, yeah, so fun. And so we go and we, I don't even know where we were, probably Holiday Valley. And he takes me on the bunny hill, right? You know, 10 degree angle. And so I'm like feeling good. I'm going down. I'm like, yeah, okay. And he thinks I've had enough practice to go on the next level up after one time. And so we get on the ski lift, and I really don't think it was the next one. I think it was the one after that. But he left me. He's going up to, like, Black Mountain, I don't know. And here I am on this mountain, and the only way down is to ski down. And so I'm, like, trying to remember everything that he's saying, right? I'm like, okay, bend your knees. Knees kind of in. Now, I'm a dancer. If I go like this, you know, it's not going to be good. So I'm, like, trying to focus on that. And I'm going down, and people are, like, just zooming by me, right? And I can't remember how to stop. And so I'm like, okay. And so halfway down, I'm noticing, like, this is not going to be good for me. So I start yelling. If you know me, if I'm on a ride and I'm not happy at the moment, I will just start yelling. I will let everyone else know how I'm feeling at the moment, just so you know. And so I'm going down the mountain, or the ski mountain. It's like this tall, right? Straight down. Not really. But okay. In my mind, it was. Ben left me. And I'm going, help me. Help me. I'm screaming. And people are going by me trying to tell me what to do. And I'm like, be quiet. I'm trying to figure this out. You know, that's another lesson. But so I'm on the way down. And I'm like, I can't stop. And then sure enough, this guy braced himself. And he's like this. And I'm like, here I come. So he stops me. And I'm like, thank you. I took off my skis and I went inside where I belong by the fire with a coffee and a book. Okay. And so I say that not because it has anything to do with the message, which is called Can't Stop, Won't Stop. It is, though, what I thought of when I thought of that phrase, because I literally could not stop going down this hill. We are going to talk about something in a passage of scripture where they say that phrase, cannot stop. And this is what escalated into this whole message. So we're going to turn to Acts chapter 4 tonight. And we're picking up the story at the point where Peter and John were arrested for healing a crippled man outside of the temple. And they had spent a night in jail because the Sadducees didn't like that this man was healed, and they didn't like what Peter and John were preaching throughout the town. So at the time, they had the right to arrest these men and put them in jail. And we have to remember, at this point, Jesus had ascended into heaven. And the disciples, who were their learners, by definition, that's what a disciple is. So they sat next to Jesus for 3 years. They learned from him. They got wisdom from him for 3 years. But now Jesus ascended into heaven. And now the disciples are now apostles, which are missionaries. And their mission was to spread the good news of Jesus. And so this is where we're picking up the verses on verse 7. And so it says, they brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and all the people in Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could not see the man, or since they could see the man who had been healed standing right before them, there was evidence right there. There was nothing that the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. "What shall we do with these men?" they asked each other. "We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everyone in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name." So they called the apostles back in and commanded them to never speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen or heard." We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen or heard. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this moment in time. I thank you, God, for opening up our hearts to what you would have us hear tonight. God, just speak through your servant. More of you, Jesus. Amen. We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen or heard. Now, there's a few things in this passage that I just want to share with you tonight that we can really glean from that are very relevant to what we face today. The first thing is God restores the past. God restores the past. In Acts, we really see Peter step up to his calling, the calling that Jesus had put on him when on earth. And we really see, you know, the training that Peter had those 3 years. We really see this start to come into practice in the first few chapters of Acts. You see, after Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit fell. If you read the beginning of Acts, they're up in the upper room, it's called. The Holy Spirit fell. And people from the outside looking in thought this was crazy. They thought it was nuts, the tongues of fire. So they're speaking in different tongues. And the people are saying, "You guys are drunk. You guys are crazy." And Peter's like, this is where he steps up and he speaks his very first sermon. He says, "We're not drunk like you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost. This is what God is doing," right? And so his very first sermon is right there. And from there on out really began to lead people to Christ. It was the beginning of a movement. It was the beginning of the early church. But do you recall who Peter was before that moment? I couldn't help but think about that as I'm reading this. Because Peter, if you look back in the Gospels, he was kind of a little unstable. You never really knew what was going to come out of his mouth. He denied Jesus. He messed up. I think that's why I can personally relate to him and why so many say that they can relate to him. Because he was just this guy that just said things and did things and didn't really think about it. And I'm like, Peter, I feel you. And yet God took someone who did all of those things and he used him greatly. He forgave him. He restored him to be the leader that he was called to be. You and I have a past. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have messed up. We all have done things that we shouldn't have done, thought things we shouldn't have thought, said things that we shouldn't have done or said. And yet it doesn't stop God from forgiving us and restoring us and using us in our calling to promote Jesus. God uses us in spite of us. And that's exactly what he does. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, and behold, the new has come. In Psalm 103:12, it says, he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And guess what? God is still a God that restores today. He's still in that business today. He hasn't changed. The Bible says, I, the Lord, do not change. We change, but he does not change. And he's still in the restoration business. He's still in the healing business. No situation has ever gone too far for God to restore. I thought of the show American Pickers. I don't know if any of you guys watch that show. Yeah. So I watched the show with Ben, and you know, I see these guys go into barns and just crazy places, and I'm like, what do they see? what do they see? They usually find something of great value, they pull it out, and they restore it better than what it was before, right? And that's exactly what God does. He takes us and he restores us into something and someone we never thought we could actually even be. And it's by the grace of God that he does that. You are new in him. God restores. Number two, God gives us the boldness that we need. In verse 7, it says, by what powers do you have? And in verses 8 through 12, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can see that he is speaking boldly about who Jesus was and the power of Jesus on the person that was healed. He didn't get defensive. He didn't get mad. He didn't get prideful. He didn't say after they said to him, by what powers do you have? He didn't be like, well, you should know, shouldn't you? Right? Haven't you been watching? We kept telling you about it. He wasn't like that, right? He was bold and he was kind about it. Side note, boldness does not mean rudeness. You can be bold and be kind about it. By definition, bold means not hesitating or fearful in the face of actual or possible danger. Courageous, daring. Desiring God website writes this, boldness in the biblical sense is not a personality trait. A typically soft-spoken, introverted, calm person can be bold at a time when a typically driven, outspoken, brash person shrinks back. Boldness is acting by the power of the Holy Spirit on an urgent conviction in the face of some threat. I have to be honest with you, when I read that, I was like, wait, that's my excuse right there. That is my excuse not to be bold because I tend to be shy. I tend to be a little introverted. I don't really want to speak up. I don't really want to, like, I know something I should, okay, God, but let me just stand here. And they're saying it's not a personality trait. So what does that mean? It means boldness requires faith. Boldness requires a strong conviction. Boldness requires courage. Boldness requires urgency. Without sufficient conviction that something ought to be said or done, without courage, without urgency, what's there to be bold about? What's our conviction about who God is in our lives today? Do we have that sense of urgency to speak out about who Jesus is in our lives and who he could be in somebody else's life? Peter spoke up because there was a conviction inside of him that he knew everybody around him needed to know who Jesus was. There was an urgency inside of him that said, you need to know this guy. You need to know what God can do for you. You need to know what he's done, and you need to have him a part of your life. That was urgent in Peter's life. So Peter spoke up. He was bold. He had courage. And again, we can have that same boldness. In Ephesians 3:12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God at work. Are you willing today to pray for boldness in the face of what and who we are facing? Do you know what happened after they got out of jail? They said, we can't stop talking about who God is, right? So they went back to the disciples, and you can read about it. They told them, listen, we're going to be threatened. We might be thrown in jail. We're going to be talked at. We're going to be talked down on. What are we going to do? You want to know what they did? They prayed together. You want to know what they prayed for? They prayed for boldness. It wasn't a one-time thing. They knew they had to keep praying to be bold, to keep praying to speaking about the goodness of God. Even Paul prayed about it when talking about the armor of God. He's telling us, you know, put on the helmet of truth, the sword of the Spirit, all of these things. And then what does he say at the end? He says, pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. God gives us the boldness that we need. Will you pray for it? Will you be bold for him? So God restores. God gives us boldness. Number three, God uses the ordinary. He uses the ordinary. Think about it. We often hear of these biblical heroes, right? And sometimes they're portrayed as this, painted as pictures of people that we can't possibly obtain to be like, right? You know, we think of David and he slayed the giant and he was so bold and courageous. But if you think about David, he was really an ordinary boy who was available and believed that God could do what he said he was going to do. When you think of Daniel in the lion's den, he was an ordinary young man who believed that God was bigger than the circumstances that were around him. When you think of Queen Esther, she walked into the king's courts uninvited. That was a risk in itself. She could be killed at any given moment for doing that. She was an ordinary woman who God called to save her people. And she stepped into that purpose saying, for such a time as this. Ordinary people. These people didn't have any crazy credentials or theology degrees. They were willing and they were available and they were ready to be used by God. And really, if you think about this passage of scripture, it blows my mind. Jesus goes into heaven, and who did he leave the ministry to? Ordinary guys. That's who they were. They were tax collectors. One was a doctor. They were fishermen. Jesus left the ministry to ordinary guys. Why, though? Because they were willing and available, and they stepped up. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. The Sadducees in verse 13 thought this. They said, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they saw ordinary. But what separated the ordinary from the extraordinary was this. If you keep reading, it says they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. These men had been with Jesus. God wants to use you today. He wants you to be ready and available. How can you turn the ordinary into something extraordinary? You spend time with Jesus. You spend time in his word. You spend time in his presence. When you do that, you will see the ordinary become extraordinary. God uses the ordinary. And my last point tonight, can't stop, won't stop. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And I love this. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen or heard. This right here, it started the whole message, because I read that and I started to get fired up. He said, we can't help speaking about what God has done in our lives. We can't stop declaring the truth. We won't stop telling about Jesus. It's in our DNA. It's in our blood. We're not quitters. We're not going to stop. We're going to finish this. We can't stop doing what God has told us to do. God's been too good. He's been too faithful to stop. Why give up now? Why are we giving up now? I can't stop. Now, they could have, right? They could have said, oh, I guess you're right, and been very passive, and yeah, okay, we'll take a step back. But they didn't. They said, we can't stop. It's too deep within us. It's ingrained within us. We're going to keep talking about who God is in our life. Don't stop when you're tired. Stop when you're done. They knew they weren't done. They knew they were not done. The disciples got mocked. They kept going. They were threatened. They kept going. They were thrown in jail. They kept going. They knew the fight was worth it. They knew the fight was worth it. And honestly, Christy Gale, this is your fault right here. I could not stop thinking or help but think about Rocky. You guys know Rocky, right? So I started thinking about Rocky and everything that those movies entail. And I love the fact that, you know, any type of movie that someone is inspirational and doesn't want to give up and is motivated by, you know, just to keep going, I love that. And this is what Rocky said. He said, you, me, nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much can you take and keep moving forward? That's how winning is done. It's not how hard I can hit. It's about how hard I get hit and I keep moving forward. I keep going. Some of us, we're getting attacked at every angle. Some of us are just getting beat up and we're like, I don't know how much more I can take it. This is what you do. You go back in your corner. You get a drink of water. You let someone Come on, amp you up. Let's go, let's go. And you get back in the ring and you say, come on, devil, let's go. I'm not leaving. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep fighting. I can't stop. I can't stop talking about what God has done in my life. He also said this. He said, every champion was once a contender who refused to give up. Who refused to give up. The Bible says, don't become weary in doing good, but keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. And then he said, I'm not the richest, smartest, or most talented person in the world, but I succeed because I keep going and going and going and going. I'm not going to give up. Living for Jesus, it's worth it in the end. It's worth it in the end. Paul said, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. Can we say that? Will we say that? We got to, like Ryan said, we got to courage up. We got to courage up. We got to get some fight in us. We got to get some drive in us. Some of us, we're just on the sidelines. We're like, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to do it. I've been there. I get it. I get it. I really, really do. Ask my friends, ask my family. I get it. But there's a fire inside that says, I can't stop talking about who God is in my life. He's been too faithful. He's been too good to me. I can't stop. Devil, you're going to try to knock me down, but I can't stop. I won't stop. Anxiety sits in. I won't stop worshiping. Depression sinks in. I'm not going to stop praising. I feel like I'm getting knocked down. I'm not going to stop talking about God's goodness. Can you say that? Can you say that tonight? Where's the fire? Where's the drive? Some of you got to put on your gloves and you got to start hitting the devil back in his place. Don't stop. Won't stop. Don't stop tonight. Don't stop tonight. God restores. God restores. God gives you boldness. There's boldness inside of you. God uses the ordinary. Can't stop. Won't stop. Amen. Can we stand tonight? I just want to pray tonight because I know that this message blessed me. It gave me just a new pep in my step when God downloaded this, and I knew it was for somebody tonight. I want to let someone know, no, don't give up. Don't give up. You feel like the enemy just keeps coming at you at every side, at every angle. You've come too far to only come this far. God wants to use you. Every part of your life he wants to use. Will you give it to him tonight? God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your message, God. I thank you that you love us, God. I thank you, God, that you use the ordinary. I thank you, God, that you put boldness inside of us to declare your word. I thank you for restoration tonight, for healing tonight. We believe you for that. And God, I just ask for a can't stop, won't stop spirit. Put that fight in us to keep going. Put that drive in us to not stop. In Jesus' name, amen.